This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, February 10th, 2016. Ash Wednesday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Return to me with all your heart. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Return to me with all your heart is the constant theme of Scripture from Genesis until Revelation. Return to me with all your heart. The Holy Spirit speaks those words through the liturgical calendar of the church. Return to me with all your heart. That's what Lent is. Lent is a time in which we set our sights upon the practicality of our faith, the reality of who we are as Catholics. Return to me with all your heart. That is what we are to do. It's not something to think about. Is something to actually do. As I said, it's practical. It is a part of being, living your faith, not just knowing, but actually doing. It's call to repentance and prayer. That's what Lent is. It's interesting that in that first reading today, the prophet Joel, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he calls the people of Israel to repentance and prayer. He doesn't say why, though. He doesn't say, come to the Lord, return to the Lord with fasting, weeping, and mourning because you have done this, or because you have done that, or because you've turned your back on him again. No matter what it might be, we don't know why. It's just like in Paul, in the letters that Paul writes in the New Testament when he says that he asks that the Lord take a thorn in the flesh from him. Three times, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh is, because we can fill in our own blanks, okay? Whatever your thorn in the flesh is. The same thing applies to what the prophet is speaking through Joel. Why should they repent? Doesn't make any difference, because Lent is not about a group of people. It is about you. It is about you individually before our Lord Jesus Christ. You are answering to him. He is calling you personally to repentance and prayer through your Lenten disciplines, whatever they may be. It is a necessity. It's a necessity of repentance due to coming judgment. These people in Israel knew that there was going to be a coming judgment of God someday. We're not going to escape it. Judgment is not, as I always say, for bad people. But we have Jesus, so we don't have to worry about judgment. Everyone is going to be judged before our Lord. And when you're going to be judged, you should return in a positive manner to the one who is going to be your judge. It is a necessity. Joel doesn't tell us why we should repent, because, again, as I said, you can fill in that blank as to why you should repent. But he does tell us how to repent. What do we need to do to have our Lord look favorably upon us again? He tells us how to do that. He says we do it with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. There's nothing positive there. Well, yes, there is. From a human perspective, it doesn't appear that there's anything positive there. But there are positives there. The positive is if we do those things, we will return to the Lord. That's what he wants us to do with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Because, as I said before, it proves something. It makes things real for us. Moving the heart to repentance requires these works. Yes, works. Your non-Catholic friends are like, nothing about works. It's like you never opened this before. This whole thing is about works. It's about conforming in faith and obedience to our Lord and doing what he says. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How can you call me Lord and not do what I say? We are supposed to do things. The Holy Spirit, speaking to the prophet, is telling us right here, we should return to the Lord with fasting and weeping and with mourning, as negative as they may sound from a human perspective. But from a spiritual perspective, it proves, and you're not proving anything to God. Let's stop right there. You're not proving anything to him. He knows your heart. He is a searcher of hearts. You're not proving anything to him. You are proving it to yourself. You are proving it to yourself that your faith is real, that you truly want to live a life of faith, a life of obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, moving the heart to repentance requires these works, at least in will. Yeah. You should always bring yourself to a place in Lent where you give yourself disciplines, either things that you're going to not do or things that you're going to do, right to the point where you might be able to successfully complete it. Because if they're too easy, they're really meaningless. And if they're too hard, you're not going to be able to do them anyway. So you got to find a happy medium. Because if we do that, it shows a positive will to do these things. Now, as you go through your Lenten disciplines and you have yourself in this place where I might be able to do this, I might slip and fall. Well, if you're able to do it, praise God. If you slip and fall, it does not mean everything's over. You dump something real hard on yourself and, I slipped and fell, my Lent's over. Better luck next year. It's not how it works. You give yourself something real hard and you slip and fall, and guess what? You're supposed to get up, dust yourself off, start over. And that hard thing that you gave yourself. That's why I say, you're the one who makes the promise to do things, you should do it. Have yourself right in that happy medium. Because that shows a positive will to do these things. If there is not a positive will to do these things, it's a sure sign that your heart is not moved. Your heart is not moved to desire returning to the Lord with all your heart. You got to make it real. Prove something to yourself that it is real for you. In the Beatitudes, you say, that's so Old Testament. Fasting and doing this and doing that. We've got Jesus now. He died on the cross for us, so we don't have to worry about that kind of stuff anymore. That sounds real nice, but guess what? It's not what Jesus says. Jesus in the Beatitudes. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake will be satisfied. Okay? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. It's an abstraction to hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake if you don't prove it somehow. If you can't just bare minimums hunger and thirst from earthly food for a little while, how on earth are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness' sake? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted later on. Blessed are those who weep now, for they will laugh in the future. That's the way we have to approach our Lenten disciplines. The things that you make hard for yourself right now, and I got to stop it. It's not just Lent. It is not merely Lent. It is every day of our Catholic lives. Every Friday we have a little Lent. A little footnote. I always like when I hear people, back in the old days, we couldn't eat meat on Fridays. Guess what? That never changed. Catholic urban legend. All right? Friday is still a day of abstinence. All right? And nothing has changed. You hear all kinds of people say that. Back in the day, couldn't eat meat on Friday. That's still the case. All right? We are to make our Catholic lives real all the time. Not just when we're in church. Not just during Lent. Not just on Fridays. Every single day. Because we get a reward for something later on. Not right now. We shouldn't expect anything right now. Contrary to what we hear a whole lot now. Okay? Society tells you how much you deserve. Okay? You even hear from some elements within the church, you know, that this place is pretty cool. You know, if we just throw enough money at it, or if we worry about global warming, then everything's going to be okay. Guess what? The scriptures tell us that this world is dark and evil. It is dark and evil, and we in the church are supposed to confront that darkness and that evil. We are a church militant. It was a word used for almost 2,000 years before it fell out of vogue. But guess what? Just because it falls out of vogue, just like that urban legend of we used to not eat meat on Fridays, we are still a church militant, or are supposed to be. We are supposed to confront objectively and aggressively, I don't mean that in a violent sense, the darkness of this world. We're supposed to stand up for what we believe. We're supposed to show people and demonstrate what we believe as Catholics. Because when we make things hard for us now, our Lord Jesus Christ said they will be better in the future. And for us, the future is not when we get older or when our kids grow up. The future's heaven. The future is heaven. That's where we get our reward if we do what we're supposed to do here. Our Lord Jesus Christ even flips it around a little bit. He said, hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you will be satisfied in the future. Mourn to you, but comforted in the future. Weep, for you will laugh in the future. He says in Luke, for instance, woe to you who are fed well now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. So the way the Lord Jesus Christ presents it to us is, make it hard on yourself now and it will be better. Because if you think, or if you try to make it well for yourself now, it's going to get worse in the future. That's not me being some kind of hard case. That's Jesus Christ. The second reading today from Corinthians says, receive not the grace of Christ in vain. I've talked about doing things and not doing things for Lent. That is an important thing, and it is absolutely necessary. However, God is not satisfied with externals. Okay? You could make a good show of it. You could actually think to yourself, you know, you might even not make a show of it to other people. But if your heart's not in the right place, and behind closed doors, I'm going to give up this and up because, you know, it makes me look good during Lent. Makes me feel good about myself during Lent. After Lent is when it comes to the fore. We're doing these things in Lent to point us forward to how we should live, as I said, every day of our life. And God is just not satisfied with externals. That's why the Holy Spirit speaking through Joel says, rend your hearts and not your garments. Not that your garments shouldn't be rent out of distress, because that's what that is, a sign of distress, great distress, when somebody rends their garments. It's not satisfactory to just do that. You need to rend your heart. You need to truly return to the Lord your God with all your heart, not just in externals, not primarily with externals, but with actually your motivations. You know, if you're new to the Catholic thing and it's first couple Lents, slack up on yourself, okay? But if you've been around for a while, jack it up a bit. Don't do the same things every year, all right? It's imperative that you truly let the externals manifest the internals, the spiritual. Because I'll end with this. As we approach Lent, and I pray you meditate on these things that I've said throughout Lent, Lent signifies life in this present world. Now, a lot of us probably woke up this morning or thought about it last night. Hopefully, to God, you prepared for Lent. You know, and you go, oh my gosh, not again. If you're doing it right, it shouldn't be a positive experience. But guess what? It signifies life in this present world. So I said earlier, this present world is not pleasant for us. We are sojourners here. We are in an exodus, so to speak. We are on a journey toward someplace better. Lent, when we deprive ourselves a little bit, or if we do a little bit more than we normally do, It signifies life in this present world, that it points to something. Lent leads to something. It leads to Easter. And whereas Lent signifies life in this present world, Easter signifies eternal bliss with our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.